Well, we're 3 weeks into the second half of this year. Do you remember what we resolved way back in week one? Do you remember me inviting you to join me in pursuing holiness by disciplining ourselves for the purpose of godliness? That sounds familiar, right? From 1 Timothy 4. I want to address the discipline of journaling this morning. I must confess that I was initially intimidated by journaling, and I'm pretty sure I'm among the majority. In 1996, a study determined that about 50% of Americans have tried to keep a diary, but only 16% are active diary keepers. Nearly 20 years later, in 2014, about 1 in 5 children and young adults kept a journal, and about 80% of those were female. So by and large, young men are particularly repelled by Dear Diary. And the habits we make when we're young are tough to break when we're old. See, I've never kept a journal when I was young. And every prior attempt to keep a traditional journal failed. So I want to share with you why and how I've come to discipline myself in journaling. I was 27 years old, and I had one of those I'm going to do this moments. So I bought a cheap guitar. You thought I was going to say I started to write a journal. No, I bought a cheap guitar and an amplifier and a How to Play the Guitar DVD. And I'd watch that disc and try to follow along, but I didn't get results as fast as I would have liked. So eventually, I quit. And the guitar collected dust in my closet. Years later, and I'm a youth minister. And a friend tells me, Adam, every good youth minister knows how to play the guitar. So I picked that guitar up and led the kids singing praises to God within weeks. What changed? Well, my motivation. It changed from self-centered to God-centered. And the church in Ephesus was a God-centered church. Jesus has some very positive things to say about them. I know your deeds, he says, and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men, and you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. Some wonderful things Jesus says. But our text this morning reveals that they still had room for improvement. They still needed to grow. So Jesus tells John to write to them in Revelation 2, verse 4 and 5, saying, "But this I have against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the deeds you did at first." I want to highlight a phrase and two words. The phrase in verse 4 is, "You have left." And the words are in verse 5 are, "Remember and do." I want to suggest this morning that the discipline of journaling is more helpful than not in remembering from where you have fallen and doing the deeds you did at first. I say journaling is helpful, but I stop short of essential. See, unlike the other disciplines we've discussed thus far, God does not command journaling. However, it is modeled by the saints of biblical times and by those who have come after. David Brainerd, George Mueller, and George Whitefield are among the journalists that I regularly study for encouragement. But now, the Chronicles of God's dealings with Adam Summers is the first step in understanding and evaluating myself. My journal helps in self-examination. In my journal, I record the day's events and my reactions. In reviewing my journal, I can examine myself more thoroughly. I can observe patterns that would have otherwise gone unnoticed. I can look objectively at myself and the events because the intensity of my immediate emotions connected to that particular event have subsided substantially. It boils my blood when one of my kids does something they know they shouldn't do, especially if I've warned them already. And very intensely if I've warned them many times. And now mom and dad are back there laughing and saying to themselves, well, you reap what you sow, you deserve every bit of what you're getting. And so that is true, and so they are right. And that's what happened on May 10th of this year. During that week, I was studying Matthew 6, and verses 14 and 15 impacted me particularly. For if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Now, my memory verses for that week was Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Now, the deeds of the flesh, they're evident. They are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. My journal reads this for May 10th. In part, Lily just wouldn't listen. Sarah and I told her repeatedly, don't do that. Still, she continued to rebel. I thought, deeds of the flesh or fruit of the spirit? I thought, outbursts of anger or gentleness? Then I prayed for wise words and righteous action, and you strengthened me, and I did not erupt in anger. Oh, we disciplined her, but I was calm. And as I look back in review, I look for events that have tested my resolve to subdue the spirit of anger. Some were successful, and others were not. But I'm charting God's work in and on me in my life. I have a record, something to look back on and remember from where I came and the work of the Spirit in my life. Then I can do the things I did in my successes. My journal also helps me in my meditation. The record of my reflections encouraged me to begin journaling. So I've only been keeping a journal in the traditional sense for about 5 months. And while studying the spiritual disciplines back in January, I came on to journaling and I thought, oh crap, I don't do this at all. But I kind of do. I have a running document on my computer. And when meditating or studying, I open it and I write down my thoughts on whatever passage I'm pondering. And that's journaling. That's journaling. Writing down the impressions Scripture makes on you. Writing down my thoughts helps my concentration. If I don't write things down, my thoughts roam without bound. And the best example I could come up with of unconstrained meditation is free writing, where you just keep writing no matter what. You don't flip the pencil over and use the eraser. You don't hit the delete or the backspace key on your keyboard. So I sat down to do a few minutes of free writing. This is what came out. This is an example of free writing, but is free writing really free? What is free? Isn't free to be able to have or do what you want? So if free writing is really free, then I should be able to go back and use the delete key if I want to. Otherwise, it's not really free, is it? So do I really want to be free? Do I really want to be the end-all be-all authority for myself and therefore everything? This can't be. Who am I to assume such authority? No, I can't be that. I need that. I need something or someone who can tell me what the bounds are, the limitations, so that I can be constrained by them. This will definitely be the more desirable outcome than universal freedom. Universal freedom would mean that everyone could be in conflict with each other because each individual is free to do whatever they like, regardless of its consequences to others. Now, that is very hard to follow, isn't it? In part because that paragraph has over 25 grammatical errors and more content errors to boot. But the point is that my thoughts went from the subject of free writing to divine authority in the space of 167 words. The old adage goes that thoughts disentangle themselves when they pass through the lips and the fingertips. And may I suggest that they pass through the fingertips before they pass through the lips. This way, when they pass through your lips, the meditations of your heart will be well articulated, clear, and insightful. Journaling helps meditation. And I mentioned a few men earlier, David Brainerd, George Mueller, George Whitefield. I might mention a few more. Moses. Moses gives the law to the next generation of Israel for the second time. Deuteronomy 6, beginning in verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Paul, Timothy, Lois, and Eunice. Paul writes his second letter to Timothy, and he begins, "I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Eunice and your mother Eunice. And I am sure that it is in you as well." See, writing down our walk with Christ and insights in the Word amplifies and extends our transmission of the faith to future generations. I'm still learning from Grandpa, even though he died 6 months ago. Tuesday, December 31st, 2013, 5:09 a.m. "Good morning, Saints. Temp 8, wind out of the west, 10 miles per hour. High 17, mostly cloudy. Weather in Estero, temp 61, wind calm, high 75, mostly cloudy, a slight chance of sprinkles. The Wi-Fi seems to be working this morning. I had breakfast at McDonald's yesterday, but I may be able to stay at home in the trailer today. I read through Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, and James yesterday. I ate lunch at a different place. Proverbs 30, verse 10. Do not slander a servant to its master, or he will curse you and you will pay for it. This verse does not contain the numerical introduction and may be an isolated proverb that warns against interfering in domestic affairs, which should be kept between a servant and the master. Keep your nose out of other people's business. Love you all, Carl William. Today's Bible reading, Jeremiah chapter 52, verses 25 through 34. So ends the book of Jeremiah. Next year, we will read the minor prophets, and we will have completed reading the entire Bible if you started with us when we began. See the journals of Brainerd, Mueller, Whitefield, Paul, Timothy, Lois, Eunice, Carl William, and Adam Philip Summers, and yours are like spiritual time capsules. The writer of Psalm 102 recognized the value of writing down spiritual happenings of the former generation for the benefit of the one that would come after. Verse 18, this will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. Journaling helps transmit the faith to the following generations. So how do I begin? What are the rules? How is it done, Adam? Well, it's really up to you. Journaling is probably the most fluid discipline of them all. We might call it free journaling. You might prefer a notebook or a steno pad, or maybe you want to keep a digital diary. Donald Whitney carries around half sheets of loose leaf paper to write on throughout the day. On occasion, mostly when I'm driving, I'll make a voice memo and transcribe it to my digital notebook later on. But you don't have to be constrained to just one method of making entries. Vary it. Use them all. But make entries. And if you don't know where to start, write down a verse or an idea from your daily Bible reading that impacts you the most. Meditate on that for a few minutes and record your insights and impressions. Think of recent events in your life and your responses to them and write those down. Record the content of your prayers. Not the whole prayer, word for word, but what did you pray for and how? What has brought you sorrow or joy? What have been your failures and successes? Write those down. Have you heard or said something worth remembering? Write it down. But make entries. And there's no specific amount of content required. You may use pages one day and struggle to write anything the next, and that's okay. I try to write something every day, but I don't feel guilty if I don't. But if I look back and I see a needless lapse in content, say perhaps several days or even weeks, I go back and I discipline myself to write at least one sentence each day to restore the regularity of the habit. And I'm usually prompted to write again when I read my first entry, which reminds me to remember where I've come from and to do the things I did at first. There's many different types of writing in the Bible. There's many literary types. For example, historical narrative, law, parable, poetry, but also included in Scripture are personal memoirs and diaries. Jeremiah recorded his groaning in Lamentations. And the Psalms might as well be a compilation of divinely inspired journal entries. Paul was anxious for a visit from Timothy, and he told him, bring John Mark with you. He also asked Timothy to bring his cloak and books and parchments, especially his parchments. Now, his cloak was for warmth in the upcoming winter. And the parchments most likely refer to copies of the Old Testament scriptures he had been using for years. And I believe that the books probably included the personal memoirs, the chronicles of God's dealing with Paul, the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had surely sought to follow the example of the champions of faith, those whose belief had been credited to them as righteousness. So as Paul sat closely confined to quarters in Rome, he requested three things. His coat would protect his body. His Bible would protect his faith. And his journals would protect him from forgetting where he came so that he would remain firm in the faith doing the things that he had done. So will you resolve to begin, if you haven't? Recording God's dealings with you is profitable for you in your pursuit of godliness and for those who will follow. Will you follow the faithful's example, logging your journey with the Lord in a journal for the sake of the glory of the Father? May the Lord and His grace be with your spirit. Amen.